Thanks for joining us for the weekend edition of In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth, Pastor J.D. gives a Mideast prophecy update from an Arab perspective as he connects the dots of current events geopolitically with last day's prophecies biblically. It is our belief that the next event on God's prophetic clock is the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that these Bible prophecy updates will not only ready you and steady you for His return, but that they will also encourage you to share the gospel with others in order that the rapture will not be as a thief in the night. Things are really heating up in the Middle East. Pastor J.D. shares why the Israeli military is acting now to stop any movement of possible weapons of mass destruction or otherwise from coming too close to the borders of Israel. And while the world abandons Israel, we must stay steadfast in our support of God's chosen people and the land He has promised them. Now, don't forget to stay with us after today's prophecy update to learn how you can become a Facebook friend or watch the weekly prophecy update on YouTube. Now, here's Pastor J.D. with today's prophecy update as shared on December 11th, 2016.
For today's prophecy update, I'm going to address the significance of a very important development that, for the most part, not surprising, went unreported. And what I'm speaking of are the airstrikes in Syria by Israel, specifically targeting the city of Damascus, which this last week took place for the second time now. For those of us who are students of Bible prophecy, this has profound prophetic implications, especially as it relates to the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, which I'd like to read. It's a prophecy against Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city. The prophecy is that Damascus will become uninhabitable because Damascus will become a heap of ruins. In addition to Isaiah 17, there's also another reference to this prophecy concerning Damascus in Jeremiah chapter 49. I want to read verses 23 through 27. Against Damascus, Hamath and Arpad are shamed, for they have heard bad news. They are faint-hearted. There is trouble on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus has grown feeble. She turns to flee, and fear has seized her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her like a woman in labor. Why is the city of praise not deserted, the city of my joy? Therefore, her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, says the Lord of hosts. I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. The fact that the aforementioned Israeli strikes is not being reported is, to me, telling for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that it would expose that which many have suspected all along concerning the cache of weapons of mass destruction that are underground in Damascus. And by the way, I hope you know that they are hiding them under hospitals and schools there in Damascus. According to Ynet News, Israel's posture is that of preempting the transfer of said weapons to Hezbollah. Now, whenever you hear Hezbollah, think Iran. Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran. It could be argued that Hezbollah is synonymous with Iran. I'm of the belief that Hezbollah already controls Syria. And don't count out the Islamic State, which we'll talk about more in just a moment. But it's also very possible that they even control the weapons in Syria, which is why Israel is doing what Israel is doing. Let me just quote a couple of excerpts from this Ynet News article. They quote Israeli Defense Minister Lieberman, who said, "We act primarily to protect the safety of our citizens and defend our sovereignty, and we're trying to prevent the smuggling of sophisticated weapons, military equipment, and weapons of mass destruction from Syria to Hezbollah." He reiterated that Israel had no intention of interfering in the civil war in Syria, but noted that, quote, "When I am asked time and time again what should be the nature of a possible future accord in Syria, I say and repeat that it doesn't matter what accord it reached, because in any case, the Iranians and Assad cannot be part of the accord." And therein lies the problem. On Wednesday, the Jerusalem Post also published a report on the strikes in which they quote a military source via Syria's SANA state media, who said, and I quote, "The Israeli enemy launched at 3 o'clock a.m. Wednesday a number of surface-to-surface missiles from inside the occupied territories to the west of Tal Abu al-Nada that landed in the surroundings of Al-Mazah Airport west of Damascus." That's key. According to Syrian reports, the strike would only make the Syrian Arab army even more determined to cut off the hands of the terrorist agents of the Zionist entity, which should be held fully responsible for the repercussions and consequences of these criminal attacks. The IDF has neither confirmed nor denied the alleged strikes, as is their policy regarding foreign reports on purported Israeli strikes. Damascus has still not confirmed the report. The allegations mark the second instance of suspected Israeli strikes against targets in Syria in 2 weeks. The article goes on to say, in April, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu admitted for the first time that the IDF had carried out strikes in Syrian territory. Quote, "We will not agree to the supply of advanced weaponry to Hezbollah from Syria and Lebanon," he said at the time. "We will not agree to the creation of a second terror front on the Golan Heights. These are red lines that we have set, and they remain the red lines of the state of Israel." I'm going to show you a map and then quote from the article. On Tuesday night, the IDF spokesman Twitter account posted a map showing over 200 towns and villages which Hezbollah uses as operations bases, as well as thousands of potential targets that Israel could strike. Speaking at the Jerusalem Post diplomatic conference in late November, Brigadier General Ram Yavni, head of the IDF Strategic Division, said that almost every Shiite village of neighborhood in southern Lebanon is being used by Hezbollah fighters. One civilian village pointed out by Yavni, Chakra, which has 4,000 Shiite inhabitants, reflects the situation in every neighborhood, town, or village of Shiite Lebanon. In that village, one-third of the homes includes military assets of Hezbollah, one-third. Several weapons warehouses, rocket launching sites, anti-tank positions, underground infrastructures, and a command post in Chakra, which was identified on the map. Make no mistake about it. And for those of you who were in Israel with us this last time, last year, remember when we were there that we were told that Israel can't, this is not an exaggeration, has the technology to read what Bashar al-Assad is reading in his morning newspaper. They know exactly where everything is. And also very interesting, they have the technology, without getting into a lot of the detail in the interest of time, but they have an aircraft, an unmanned aircraft, that basically wipes out everything so they can do anything. And that's why they did not see Israel coming. And they did not see Israel going. Someone last week shared with me, and I didn't have a chance to read it, but it basically reminds me of the miracles of the Six-Day War back in 1967, where God would just supernaturally and miraculously protect Israel from their enemies who were seeking to destroy them and wipe them off the face of the earth. One such case was when at night they had to make their way across a minefield, and they didn't know where all the landmines were. But God, one of those but God things, God sends a massive wind and it uncovers every single landmine, and they made their way safe passage through. Well, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God brought a cloud that protected Israel. It was 2 weeks ago now. And God is doing that. There are accounts after accounts of God intervening on behalf of his people, the Jewish people, to protect them from their enemies. By the way, for those of you who have read How It Ends, well, I digress. I want to show you another map. I actually worked on this a little bit more from Thursday night. I talked a little bit about it on Thursday night. I want you to first notice this red line. That is the actual original borders of the Promised Land. Now, why do I point that out? Because, oh, and by the way, the yellow, I tried to, this is all by hand, so you'll forgive my artistic inability. But the yellow is the actual size of Israel today. And then I drew in gray the size of Syria and the proximity of Syria to the north. But the reason I want you to notice this red line is because that was the original border of the Promised Land given to Israel. The largest amount of that Promised Land they ever possessed was under the reign of King David. And Thursday night, we were in 2 Chronicles, we were talking about how even under his son Solomon's reign, they still possessed a larger portion of the Promised Land. But you know that this red line is the area that the Islamic State refers to as the Levant? The Levant? The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or, and you'll never hear me call it by its other acronym, the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. It is verbatim the same exact borders of the Promised Land. Now, I suppose the question becomes one of, where is all of this going? And maybe more importantly, what does all of this mean to us? I hope you know that I in no way wish to come off as being sensational or provocative, but I am personally of the belief, and I'm sure many of you would agree, that the stakes couldn't be higher. The stakes could not be higher. And the reason that the stakes cannot be higher is because of none other than Russia and Iran, both of whom are positioning themselves at the ready in real time as we speak. And a lot of this, again, goes unreported, and there's a reason why it goes unreported. Perhaps it goes without saying, but this is further evidence of the prophecy concerning Syria being a catalyst for the prophecy in Ezekiel. I would suggest that once Isaiah 17 is fulfilled concerning Syria and Damascus, it will become the trigger, and it will bring about the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. This is the conduit, for lack of a better word, through which Russia, Iran, et all of those listed in Ezekiel's prophecy will come against and attack Israel. Now, please hear me out on this. I am not saying that it is happening now, but please listen. I am also not saying that it's not happening now. Maybe I can say it the same thing a bit differently. I'm not saying that Isaiah 17 is about to be fulfilled right now, but I'm also not saying that it's not about to be fulfilled right now. And again, this is why I say I don't want to come off as being sensational, but we have a problem. And the problem is that most people are either unaware or they simply don't care. And that's a problem. That's a huge problem, especially when it's named amongst the Christian church. People are unaware or they simply don't care about that which is about to come to pass. I'm hoping you'll kindly indulge me for the remainder of our time together. I want to share with you what I see as the three main reasons that people, for the most part, are oblivious to what's coming. You see the first one on the screen. I believe that people are unaware of the seriousness of the significance of this because they're sleeping. Just as we're unaware of our surroundings when we're sleeping physically, so too are we unaware of our surroundings when we're sleeping spiritually. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome in chapter 13. He says in verse 11, "Do this." This is something to do. "Understanding the present time," in other words, in light of what is happening, as we're aware of what is happening around us, "the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber." Wake up. Why? Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. That actually ties into our second reason why I believe that people are unaware and don't care. People are too caught up with the cares and the affairs of this life. Too caught up with the things of this world and the gratifying of the desires of the flesh. In the last days, we're told that people will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, not lovers of God. When we as Christians love the world and the things of the world, we become spiritually disabled. Our spiritual disability, in the sense that we're disabled in our ability to love God and the things of God. You can't do both. You can't serve two masters. In other words, if you love the world or the things in the world, you're unable to love God and the things of God. This is what the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 15. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And here's the thing. The world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. This actually, again, ties into our third reason, which is the one that I really want us to pay particular attention to. This one is dangerously subtle. And I say dangerously subtle because it can absolutely and utterly blindside us. The third reason is, and it specifically for Christians, is because now it's a time of celebration. Instead of being a time of trepidation, Christians see this as a time of celebration by virtue of the election of Donald Trump and the upcoming inauguration on Friday, January 20th, which is, as of today, 39 days away. I know I could be accused of being a killjoy when I say this, but the truth of the matter is, in terms of the Middle East, 39 days is a very, very, very long time. Anything could happen. And were that to be the case, Christians who have let their guard down, and Christians have let their guard down, are going to be totally blindsided. It's for this reason that we as Christians, in the midst of our celebration, should hear and heed the warning that is now sounding. Oh, I didn't hear the warning. That's because the celebration is too loud. That's because everybody's so happy now. Wow, we must have more time. Well, as we talked about last week, I would argue the opposite is true. Yeah, but we dodged a bullet. Come on, quit raining on our parade.
Are you ready? If not, you need to be ready, because our redemption draws nigh. This is what Jesus said about seeing these prophecies begin to come to pass in Luke chapter 21, verse 28. This verse speaks directly to the heart of the prophecy update that Pastor JD shares each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth. The goal for each prophecy update is twofold. First, to equip you with information you need to live in these exciting last days. Second, to encourage you in your faith in the Creator of the universe. Every word in the Holy Bible is 100% true. We're seeing that fact being proven each and every day. We pray that you have been both blessed and challenged by today's prophecy update. And we do hope you join us again for tomorrow's conclusion to this prophecy update from Pastor JD. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, you can become a Facebook friend with us by logging on to www.inspiritandtruthradio.com. We've provided a link to our Facebook page. Another great option to stay current with Pastor JD's prophecy updates is to subscribe to the Aloha Bible Prophecy Update YouTube channel. The Prophecy Update YouTube channel has all the current updates that Pastor JD has shared, as well as an archive of past updates. Again, log on to inspiritandtruthradio.com and follow the link to the Prophecy Update YouTube channel. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Please join us tomorrow as Pastor JD concludes this Prophecy Update. That's next time on In Spirit and Truth.